If we stop hitting high-touch surfaces to clean and sanitize those surfaces, then we're going to continue to see foodborne illnesses because of cross-contamination.
Welcome to Food Safety Unwrapped, presented by Sani Professional, a podcast for food safety professionals, food service operators, crew members, or anyone involved in the preparation, service, and delivery of food to the public. We'll talk about preventing foodborne illness while delivering a safe, enjoyable dining experience. Join us as host Dr. Hal King, managing partner of Active Food Safety and leading industry expert in public health and food safety management, unwraps important issues, innovative ideas, and effective solutions from subject matter experts and thought leaders. Together, we'll navigate through these uncertain times and cover topics that are important to you from the front to the back of the house and everything in between. Food Safety Unwrapped, presented by Sani Professional, is brought to you by Sani Professional, the food safety division of PDI, and the number one brand in food service wipes. Sani Professional simplifies the way you clean, sanitize, and disinfect at the table, behind the counter, and on the go. For more information, visit saniprofessional.com.
Welcome to the first episode of Food Safety Unwrapped. So in episode one today, we're going to actually start with going to the expert at Food Sani Professional. We're going to talk to S.B. Carrion, who's a general manager of Sani Professional, a good friend of mine, a colleague, and someone I've worked with for many, many years at Sani Professional. And they're the ones that are making the tools that we need to ensure clean and sanitation in our food service establishments. Today, we're going to talk about what the Food Safety Unwrapped podcast is all about. We're going to hear from SB a little bit about why we're involved in developing this new podcast and why it's so important that Sani Professional is sponsoring this. And then we're going to talk a little bit about some of the things we just went through in this pandemic to understand how to get better and use best practices to reduce foodborne illnesses. So let's get started. So why do a podcast on food safety now? There's a lot of information about food safety in lots of places, and we've done webinars on food safety. Sani Professional has actually helped support work and research on food safety. There's just a lot of stuff on food safety now out in the industry. I think the podcast for food safety is critical and important because we don't really have an avenue or place for people to hear from the experts who are actually executing food safety in the food service industry. Many times I tell people that the government and academia, which do a great job of monitoring food safety issues, foodborne illnesses, developing information and research on how these foodborne illnesses are caused, the root cause, and that sort of thing are critical, but we don't really hear from the food industry experts. We don't hear from those who are actually taking all that information and developing programs and systems to prevent foodborne illnesses. For example, the FDA food code, there's over 700 pages of the FDA food code, very precise and specific to cause and prevention of foodborne illnesses. But that can't be turned into a business model pretty easily unless you have experts who know how to do that. And so taking that information and making it into a program or a system to prevent foodborne illnesses is really just business management. It's very important to know this, though, because in a business has to ensure that the business continues to work and function, but also continues to prevent risk. And I think, you know, when we were talking about trying to develop what the name would be, something about food safety, this podcast, we came up with the name Unwrapped. When you think about it, there's an association with food, but what we want to do with Unwrapped in this food safety podcast is to unwrap that information I just discussed. We want to get to the leaders and the experts, and I want to help facilitate that to unwrap how they're doing this. And so that the folks that are in those preparation of food and service delivery and all the folks in this industry can learn from how it's done. You can't really go to school to get this information or go to take a class. You really just need to learn how these business managers and leaders are doing this. And so we're going to do that in this podcast and hear from them. And some might ask, why would we partner with Sani Professional? I consider Sani Professional is a partner, not just a sponsor of this podcast. They're a leader in developing new solutions and systems to ensure cleaning and sanitation and disinfection. That's critical to prevent foodborne illnesses. We all know how important that is. And I have a long relationship with a sanity professional for many years. Early on in my career in food service, in the food service business, I was trying to find a way to kind of connect a food safety risk reduction to a customer experience, because I was working in an area where marketing was really important and customer experience was really important. And we were trying to do this with the rag and bucket. And everyone's seen that rag where people squeeze out the water from the rag and they try to clean the surfaces, but that's not really a good customer experience. And it really doesn't clean unless it's used properly. It doesn't really clean and sanitize surfaces well. It actually transfers germs from one place to another. But sanitary professional actually were developing, had developed a single-use, pre-moistened wipe where we could take the wipe out of a pouch, wipe down, then clean the surface, turn over and get it clean, and then throw it in the trash can. So we're actually wiping off the germs and throwing them in the trash. And, you know, customers love that. They love that experience versus the other way we were doing it. And so it's you know, now after as we're coming through the pandemic, we've all learned through a lot of research studies done by other organizations that customer experience is critical to have customers want to come back and eat in the dining room or accept the brand is safe. And so that's going to be really, really important in the future, is making sure we can prove that the surfaces are cleaned properly with the proper tools. And so, you know, my good friend and colleague for many, many years, SB Carrion, has graciously offered to come and be on episode one today with us. And so I'd like to introduce her to come on and just let us hear more about what Sanity Professional is doing.
Great to be here. Thanks, Hal. And it's great to be here on the first episode. And, you know, we at Sanity Professional are so excited to partner with you, especially on our first ever podcast. And, you know, you and I have talked a lot about this idea for a while, and launching Food Safety Unwrapped at this time is really quite timely, because it really allows us to bring together everyone and anyone who cares about food safety. And I know there's a lot of you out there, and I hope you, our listeners, will find this podcast useful as Dr. Hal King unwraps food safety topics that are important to you. So yeah, it's great to be here, Hal. And also, since I know you will be doing most of the asking in this podcast and all our future episodes, I'd like to turn the table a bit and kick off our first episode by asking you a few good questions. Is that good?
Yeah, that sounds great.
Okay, so let's get started. So here's the first question. If you can reflect for a minute from pre-pandemic times to the height of the crisis and now post-pandemic, what are your thoughts about our food safety systems? You know, talk to us about what people are doing differently, what are they doing more of or have stopped doing to better prevent foodborne illness?
Espy, that's a great question, and one I'm very passionate about the answer. You know, one of the things that have occurred during the pandemic is that the food service industry was not going to survive unless they found a way to ensure that employees could work safe in the kitchens and they could ensure customer safety. The way they did that was with the way we were trying to learn how to ensure no one had COVID and they weren't spreading COVID, the infection in our workplace. And so everyone kind of learned very quickly, how do we do that? Well, we came up with what we call wellness checks, where an employee was not allowed to come into the workplace or work unless they had been screened for wellness. And, you know, for COVID, it was the things like fever, coughing, you know, all those symptoms that we learned that COVID, that would indicate someone has COVID. And that was before we had testing for COVID. But those wellness checks were very important because it helped us sustain the business by ensuring that employees could come work safely. Of course, they were wearing masks and doing other things, but they had to ensure that. And even in some states, OSHA was regulating, requiring evidence that restaurants were checking employees for wellness and not letting them work with COVID. So it was really, really important. That's something that the whole industry just had to turn to ensure that employees were working safe and were not sick. When you go back before the pandemic, this is actually required for foodborne illness screening. If you look at, there's several documents in the FDA has on personal hygiene and employee wellness. And it's a requirement in the food code that you check to ensure that employees don't work when they have a foodborne illness. You know, some of the symptoms of foodborne illness are really just symptoms that the employee would have to tell you, right? They have vomiting and diarrhea. But it was really, really important to prevent norovirus outbreaks and other types of outbreaks in, by screening your employees before they work to ensure they weren't working with these signs and symptoms and even the names of some of these diseases they might have gotten diagnosed with. And so wellness checks were a good thing that came out of the pandemic, but they need to be sustained and continued. Now, when the pandemic's gone and we don't need to screen people for COVID and things like that, as we're slowly doing now with vaccination and other ways to kind of reduce the spread of the disease, we need to continue to do wellness checks for foodborne illnesses. So that will be a good thing to keep doing because the whole industry now has learned the impact it has on preventing diseases. And of course, foodborne diseases are our number one issue now in the food services industry. One of the things that I think the industry has stopped doing that I hope they would come back and continue to do more of is early in the pandemic, we started to really hear a lot about hitting and cleaning and sanitizing high-touch surfaces because we thought in the early parts of the pandemic that the transmission of the virus was going to be coming from surfaces where people touch the surface and then touch their eyes and nose and mouth. Over time, we found out that that's not a significant amount of transmission going on from that from surfaces. And so early on the pandemic, everybody was getting sick, cleaning, sanitizing all these high-touch surfaces everywhere, even spraying down boxes and things at our home. But as we found out that's not as a critical part of transmission, we stopped. But if you think about just like the wellness checks are still needed in the food service industry to prevent norovirus and other things from getting into the restaurant from employees, those viruses and things that are still going into high-touch surfaces in the restaurant. People sick with salmonella, someone might be handling raw chicken with their hands or gloves, and then they touch other surfaces. Like, for example, a high-touch surface would be a handle on a freezer that where people store frozen french fries before they cook them, something like that. If we stop hitting high-touch surfaces to clean and sanitize those surfaces, now we're going to continue to see foodborne illnesses because of cross-contamination. So I think one of the things they stopped doing, we hope they go back to do more of now, is really focus back on hitting those food contact surfaces, but all those non-food contact surfaces that are we call high-touch surfaces, where the spread of pathogens can occur from handling food, but also from employees that are sick.
Yeah, now that's very interesting and actually a really good reminder for our listeners, because what I'm hearing here is that, you know, having a cleaning protocol that's done right, done consistently and done regularly is really very important and probably the best way to prevent the spread of foodborne illness. And I also like the fact that you had mentioned that, you know, food safety also really begins with the health and safety of our staff, especially those who are food handlers. So all really good information there and really great observations and insights. So thanks for that, Hal. All right, so now on to my second question. Can you cite a best practice that's worth sharing with our listeners?
Yeah, there's so many, and I'm really excited about the podcast that Sandy Professional is sponsoring, because this is just going to give an opportunity to share a lot of these things, especially as we hear from our listeners, other things that they're struggling with or want solutions for. We're going to get to kind of talk about all those. But I think if I were had to summarize one of the best practices that are coming out of the pandemic, and I think are going to grow and more and become more important, is food safety management systems. I wrote a book about this in 2020, just before while the pandemic was coming up, the importance of something the FDA has described years ago that's important to prevent foodborne illnesses in the food service environment. A food safety management system is really just just defined as having an SOP or process that you want to ensure takes place. So it could be a recipe and how the food's prepared. It could be the things you want to ensure the employee does when they're cleaning and sanitizing surfaces and what they use to do that sort of thing. It includes a component to train employees to do that. So you have a standard, then you're training the employees to do that and making sure they've been trained to do it properly. And then it includes a management component to monitor, is it being done? And so you think about the folks across let's say they have a chain across the United States, for example, and they're supposed to be doing wellness checks to ensure that employees are not working sick. Well, how do they know they're doing that? How do they know that's happening at every shift? A food safety management system defines the standard on how to do that. It can define the standard to the training to ensure employees are trained on not working sick so they don't show up to work when they're sick. kind of self-reporting, and it can inform the process of managing. The manager is actually doing it, checking to ensure the employees are not sick before they work. That's a food safety management system. And so a best practice is to take something like that program or that type of system and developing it for all the hazards that are in the restaurant. You know, when we think about the things that are going on now because of the digital transformation of food and the food industry, it's going to be becoming even more important to ensure that we've got have execution of all these things in the restaurants to ensure the safety of the food.
Yeah, that's really very important. So do you feel many of our operators, like they feel equipped or confident to do these best practices?
I believe we've learned a lot. I think because of the sharing that happens, and that's something that we really are passionate about for this Food Safety Unwrapped podcast, is that we can continue to learn from others and share that information. I still see some struggling with which best practice should I use? How do I prioritize these type of things? So I think the podcast is going to help a lot, kind of define some of those and prioritize a lot of those things. So yeah, some are still struggling with what to do and which to do first, that sort of thing. But I think many of them have also adapted and learned. Like I said, the wellness checks across the industry, there was no choice but to ensure you were checking employees for wellness against COVID and disease. But you really shouldn't have a choice to check employees for wellness related to foodborne illnesses, so you can make sure that people don't get sick from the food, from an employee being sick with a foodborne illness. So it's going to be a challenge, but I think this is going to really help a lot.
Yep, agree. Awesome. Okay, so now my last question. It's 2023. Can you believe that? Are there any themes, Hal, that you feel are affecting the food service industry that we should be focusing on for the year?
Yes, but that's another great question. I'm very passionate about two things right now. Obviously, in the past, you've probably heard me talk a lot about the need to reduce foodborne illness rates. We've in the food service industry specifically, we have thousands and thousands of foodborne illnesses and thousands of deaths that come from the industry. And those have not changed. They continue to be the same every year. So we have a challenge there to get better. But now we have this digital transformation that's come out of the pandemic, where folks can order from any restaurant off an app. And it just changes the dynamics of how food is ordered and prepared and served and delivered. I'll give you a great quick story. When I was a young man, I was working at a QSR restaurant in a mall, and you can imagine the volume was very limited in a mall. I used to cook the product and try to keep up with the demand at lunchtime, at the lunch shift. I used to do the cash register and sit there and take the orders, and people standing in line in front of me, and I just couldn't wait till the line got shorter, because at lunch period, it would go all the way out to the mall. But there was a finite amount of food we could make, and there was a finite amount of people we could serve, right? There was just so when that line got lower, then we'd catch up. But we couldn't keep serving a million people on that line. Well, with digital transformation now, there are millions of people ordering every hour from hundreds of restaurants all over the place. And they don't often know where that food's being prepared. It might have a brand name. It might have a menu item, but it may not actually be made in the restaurant that down the street. It may be made in, say, a ghost kitchen, or it may be made in other places, commissaries, things like that. And so this digital transformation has kind of gotten rid of that line. People don't have to stand in line to order anything anymore. They basically just order it off the app. And what that does is it puts a significant amount of pressure on those kitchens. If the kitchen is getting thousands of orders, can they actually make those products safely with that order demand? And I think they can. A lot of chains are doing some really great technology to kind of push the orders to different kitchens. Ghost kitchens are doing that too, where they actually can manage where those orders are going to, so they can make sure they have can meet the volume and demand by the labor they need and the food ingredients they have in those kitchens. So I think it can be done, but it's going to put a lot of stress on the industry. And so this digital transformation, on top of all what we're seeing prior to the pandemic of foodborne illness rates, could actually contribute to an increase of that. We would not want that. We want to kind of decrease those. So I think that's going to be a challenge for us, but it's a good challenge to have, because we want to grow the industry, we want to grow the business. you know, the food service industry is a great industry to work in, and business owners do great things with it. And you see these new brands come up with new food and chains with new menu items are going to be critical to the growth of the economy. And we want to just do it really safe and help them ensure they're safe.
Yep. And it really, it's, you know, I should talk about this over the years, right? In such a short period of time, it's just so pretty amazing how much the food service landscape has changed. And again, a lot of that being influenced by technology and how this technology has really made away from home food much more accessible now. And, you know, and there are a lot of, you know, well-known restaurant brands and those that are emerging, but that really also puts a lot of pressure to make sure that these brands are able to protect their reputation. And that really, again, goes back to, you know, increasing that level of food safety in all aspects of the operation, from the time you prepare it to the time that it gets to the consumer for that dining experience.
Exactly.
All right, well, this has been great. So thanks, Hal, for taking my questions. Those were really great insights and really, really been a pleasure being part of the first episode of Food Safety Unwrapped. So now back to you.
Thank you so much, Espy, and thank you again for your work and efforts to help us in the industry meet our needs to clean and sanitize, but also reduce foodborne illnesses. Y'all are a very important part of my business and many others, so thank you for that. You know, I'm going to kind of just recap real quick today. We talked about a lot of things, and thank goodness we have a podcast recording because you can go back and listen to it again over and over. You know, I always tell people I could talk for hours, but we want to keep these things short and easy to you to have access to best practices and implement them and use them. I think today we really were just trying to highlight the need for this podcast now that basically centers around the need to share knowledge. And because a lot of this knowledge is it's within the experts who are actually doing it in these large enterprises and these other businesses that are in the food service business. Like I said before, you can get that information from great people at the FDA and CDC and USDA and great people in academia, but they're not actually implementing and executing it in the business. And these experts have. And so I think translating all that great stuff that we get from government and academia into how we actually do it is going to be critical for us to get better, especially now during this time where we're coming out of the pandemic, we hope. But we have new challenges because of the growth of the industry and the way the industry pivoted to digital transformation and ordering and off-premise sales. Those are all good things for the economy, but we just want to make sure we do it safely. So the podcast is going to give us opportunity to do that and many other things that we can learn from these experts. So just really, really excited about that opportunity. Thank you so much, Sandy Professional, and thank you guys for listening to us today.
Thank you for tuning in. Please subscribe to Food Safety Unwrapped, presented by Sani Professional, and join us next time to hear more insights from leading food safety experts on topics that are important to you. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time.